Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. I pray, Lord, that the words that we use will be the seeds that will be planted in people's hearts to help them to think and grow. That, Lord, that you would use us in a mighty way. We love you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome back. It's another week, and we're excited to be here. I got Laura and Kevin, and today we're gonna talk about obesity in the way we think and what it could be guarding us against. And so, Laura, I would like for you to go ahead and tell us what's on your heart.
Well, I experience this across the board with many people, and it's this, that people project with a problem that, as an inner healer counselor, as a Christian, I realize it's really not their problem. Their focus is on the problem or what they think is the problem. So let's take obesity, for example. Working with a client who is obese, by her own admission. And of course, with that, there is often, not always, but often self-hatred, shame, all of these things that work into it. And one of the things immediately I wanted to begin to help her understand is that the weight is actually not her problem. Now, for her, that's a brand new concept, because to her, the weight is the only problem. If she could get the weight off, then she would be able to straighten out the rest of her life. And one of the first things I wanted to teach her is that your weight is not the problem. It's a symptom. Your weight is a symptom of something very deep within you that you have found a way to be able to numb, to quiet, to bandage over whatever's really at work in the deepest part of your soul, whether that's rejection, anger, hurt, frustration, sexual sin committed against you, right? There's things in there. And because food especially is not immoral or illegal, you can do it out in the open, you know? Some things you are illegal and you can't do them out in the open, but food is everywhere. And so we can learn very, very early as children, and most of us do have signaling as children that food is comforting. And if you have enough suffering, if you have enough trauma, food will become your very best friend, not for nourishment, but food has a way of numbing us out. People do not become obese typically by eating, say, steak and eggs, right? Why? Because they don't give us a dopamine hit, right? Like processed foods do. And so what I wanted her to understand is there is an addiction thing going on. I believe that physiologically now it can be an addiction thing. So that's a separate issue, but it's not the issue. And so I would say to the listener, and we say this with so much gentleness, you know, food works, alcohol works, drugs work until they burn your life down. And you can do all of these things, and many of you that have listened, you know, I've certainly experienced this in my life. If you don't get to the root and you just keep inspecting the fruit, which is really just a symptom, you'll never be able to get to the deepest parts of your soul that are screaming out for healing.
But that's the general way of our enemy, right? To disguise us and to lie to us, to appear to be an angel of light, even in the things that he causes us or influences us to think in our cognitive states, that there's a substitutional kind of a deception. You know, hey, that's going to be so good. Oh, that's going to be, boy, you're going to find some peace with that. And then it destroys us. It works until it doesn't. And then we're in quicksand.
Absolutely. I meet with a lot of people, and there's times that, you know, the best thing for us to do is to meet for a meal and to get together. And so sometimes what we do is we train our brain to say, food is good. It makes me feel good. And food isn't
It's part of the problem. There's a lot of things that our food industry has done to get people to go back to their food. It's, you know, the sugars, the carbs, the things that give us that dopamine hit. You know, back the turn of the century, when cereal was being put out there as doctors recommend, this is the best thing for you. We're looking at going, no, it's not. You know, it tastes good. It fills up our belly. But there are certain things that will cause us to store up the fats. And then also part of that is, that's one part of it. The other part is cortisol. The stress hormone that will pump into our body. So if we're under stress, or we're, you know, we're worried, we're afraid, our body's going, our body's trying to read our emotions, and it sends signals to say, I need to store up food. I need to store up energy because I'm in fight or flight mode, and I'm going to have to run. And if I don't have enough energy, I will die. Even though there's no immediate emergency or other thing that's around us, but in our brain, we have turmoil going on, and it's sending signals to our body to store up that energy so that we can survive. And all we do is store and store and store. Before we know it, we're looking in the mirror going, how did I get this way? And so we have to look to see, what is that symptom? What is the cause? What is the root? Because if we don't get to the root, then the problem's going to continue.
Yeah, it makes me think of that saying, you know, it's not what you're eating, it's what is eating you. Okay. Mm-hmm. There is a heaviness and a sorrow that lives within many people, and they've become expert plasterers. They've learned how to survive, especially as children, how to survive with all the fractures and the cracks in their heart, right? By finding ways to be numb. You know, now not everybody turns to alcohol. Not everybody turns to food. Some people find other sources. They become the clown. They become the comic, right? It's a desperate need to not feel what actually needs to be felt and grieved, so that that person who is in bondage, they're actually enslaved. And it's, again, it's not even to the food and the alcohol, even though that now has become a physiological problem. Like, that's a whole separate component. But the addiction, I would say it this way, is the addiction that they have is to keep the toxic stuff from coming up and coming out. Because they're afraid that if they dare to even open up the door to their anger, their pain, their disappointment, their suffering, right? Of their bitterness, right? They feel like if they start to cry, they'll never cry. I mean, I've had people say that, and I'll say, wow, I totally get that. But, you know, I've said this to a physician who actually believed this. She could not cry. And I said, that's so interesting. As a physician, can you give me the statistics of people that actually died from crying? And she had to think about that for a few moments. And then she said, I guess that's pretty ridiculous. I guess nobody's ever died from crying. And I said, yeah, but see, we believe it. And so this is where I'd like to say to the listener something that I find to be very simple, but it's not simplistic. And what I have to understand about myself, and what I help my clients understand, is that all of us have belief systems. No shocker about that, right? We all have belief systems. Problem is, most of them are lies. Okay. Or at least a lot of them are lies. So we have a belief system. Now, out of our belief system comes our thoughts. Our thoughts give birth to our emotions. Our emotions give life to our outcome. Now, this is very important. I'm going to say it again because I'm going to make a very important distinction. So our mindset creates our thoughts create our emotions, and our emotions create our outcome, or a lack of outcome. So if you have you know, a client, for instance, and she says, I can never lose weight. I can never lose weight. You know, what some people would wrongly do is try to find a diet for her and an exercise program. That will never work, because what they're doing is they're looking at the lack of outcome as the solution.
Right.
No, that's just the fruit. Again, we're talking about, I have to take them back. I got to keep asking questions, because here's what's, you know, in this a hypothetical case, here's what is likely to happen. Well, what's the difference? Nothing works anyway. Nothing I do ever changes. Ah, now we're getting to the false belief system. Now we understand what really must be worked on. It isn't the diet and exercise regime. It's like, we got to dig down underneath that belief system, that through disappointment, the Bible says that a hope deferred makes the heart sick. Well, I want to help them understand, where did the disappointment begin, that at some point you just became hopeless? Nothing was going to work. And then I help her to understand, right? Because you have this false belief system that this will never change, what difference does it make? That produces your thoughts, that produces your feelings, and that is why you end up with the outcome. So we're not going to focus on the diet plan. We're not going to focus, you know, on, you know, you need to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and, you know, no. Would that be helpful? Yes, but it's not getting to the root of the problem. And I would say this gentleman, in this hypothetical case, not only would she find that she's not having breakthrough in her weight, she's not having breakthrough in other areas, because the mindset, the belief system is such that what's the point? None of it matters anyway. What do you think about that?
I think you are touching upon some extraordinary things, and that's one of the million reasons I love you, Laura. You're profoundly influenced and inspired by the Holy Spirit, and very intelligent and open-minded.
Thank you.
And so, I would add a slight, gentle little correction on the steaks don't produce dopamines. I don't know, Laura, when I cook a steak on a charcoal grill, boy, I don't know. I got to push back a little bit for the men out there. I will take that.
Yes.
Okay. And maybe the ladies too. So,
but I'm agreeing with you. Okay.
I get excited about those steaks, man.
Me too.
Anyway, I think what you're pointing out is awesome. It's mind over matter. It can be supported with scripture in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4, and really just all over the place, that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So I like what you're pointing out. We call that in the secular psychiatry or the psychological world, cognitive behavioral therapy. Here at Encouragement Now, we call it cognitive restructuring. Mm-hmm. And that process of starting with a belief system, that evolutionary process, and it ending up into behaviors and attitudinals, is something that we definitely need to change. If we don't, it's a Band-Aid approach. It's an outcome measuring. It's a quantitative exercise in futility. And it's a diet and exercise program that is not sustainable, because a person, even if they lose weight, will relapse back into the misery that is the foundational stuff to all this stuff. I hope you didn't use the word stuff too much. Let me impart a global perspective here. We live in a fallen world. Our enemy is so clever and so strategic and so effective with tactics, even if it takes generations and multiple years. Obesity, or the outward symptomology that appears to be obesity, because there's an inner problem there, is probably a strategy from our enemy, impacting our identity as God's children. We start to concentrate on our poor body image and how awful we feel in this big body, rather than carrying the image of God. And Satan has handicapped us with even this physical condition to distract us away from being able to think who we are in the Lord, because we're going to spend 95-97% of the time thinking about how big we are and how overweight we are and how miserable we are. That dissatisfaction contemplation all the time will absorb us and distract us away from God if we're not careful. And we're always consumed with how am I going to feel better? How am I? We're always going to be consumed with the Band-Aid futility, which gets to be a hamster wheel, rather than seeking this the true undergirding kind of a thing that you're talking about, Laura. I love it. That is so cool. And Satan is so dastardly, sinisterly wicked. If he can take out 50, 80 million Americans or people in other countries, well, I'm just using it in an American context, it's probably more than that. I don't know the statistics. Do obesity and always having their mind on that poor body image, then he's got another 10 or 20 on alcoholism, and he's got another 20, 30, 40 million on adultery. He's destroying us. He's the great statistician back there just pulling the freaking levers. And if he's got you discouraged and almost to the point that you think your life's over and I can't win, then he's got you where he wants you. And there is a solution. We guarantee it at Encouragement Now. It's called God. It's called Jesus. And you can do it. Now, it's going to take some cognitive restructuring. It may even take a diet and exercise program along with restructuring your heart, along and in correlation with restructuring your mind. But you can do it. It won't be easy, but you can do it.
Absolutely. I like the cognitive restructuring, cognitive behavioral therapy, because changing our mind, our outlook is huge. When we have a defeatist attitude, if we think that the world's against me, God hates me, what we're doing is we're going to self-fulfill that prophecy that we tell ourselves. We have to look at God's word to see that he loves us, that he died for us. And God died for us not so that we would be defeated, but that we would succeed. And so sometimes we look at the world through a lens of comparison and seeing what other people have. I don't have it. There's something wrong with me, or people have hurt me and I don't know what to do with that hurt. And I end up hurting other people, and it's a cycle, and it has to do with our mind. And so if we are able to have a better outlook and start to change not only what's in our mind, but then we can start to change the patterns of how we do things. Discipline is big. If we're able to discipline our mind, discipline our bodies, discipline our schedules and things like that, then what we end up doing is we give ourselves something to do so that we're not aimlessly wandering around trying to figure out what we're doing next. And so I talk a lot with my clients about, what are you doing with your day? Are you being strategic? Are you able to tell yourself what to do, or are you allowing the circumstances around you to dictate what you're going to do? And so we start to worry because, am I doing everything I'm supposed to be doing? And we've had conversations before about false guilt. We've had conversations about what does our schedule do that causes us to worry and have anxiety. And so if we're able to tell ourselves what to do and say, I'm doing a great job, you know, we're not lying to ourselves, but what we're doing is we're telling our mind that, hey, mind, body, we're connected. And so I'm communicating to myself so that my body's not reacting to the stress and the anxiety. The other thing, and, you know, diet and exercise is good, but fasting is probably something that we need to do as human beings. We live in a world of abundance. We live in a world of options, and we have so many things that are not only at our disposal. We could get into the car, go get McDonald's, go get KFC, go, you know, get that fast food. We could go to the grocery store. We can even sit at home and press a button on our phone and have it delivered to us, and which requires absolutely no effort. And so if you're able to make a meal by hand and be strategic, vegetables, you know, some meat, you know, those types of things, and then limit the portions, you're not only are you going to save money, but you're also going to prevent your body from storing up too much energy. Fasting is another big thing that we need to do, and it's to deny ourselves of that energy that is at the abundance. And it's hard because our body goes, oh no, I didn't get my food. My mind's going, well, this isn't fun. And it's a discipline. Years ago, I learned what fasting was, not by choice. It was one of those things. I got sick and wasn't able to eat. And then I found the benefits of what fasting was. It wasn't fun. I didn't like it. But for the last 5 years, 5-6 years, it's probably longer, I've been able to fast breakfast and not allow myself to eat past 7 p.m. and then wait till 10 to noon before I start eating again, which gives me a lot of time. And at first, your body's like, what are you doing? This isn't good. After a while, your body's like, okay, this is normal. And sometimes I'll even skip dinner because let's say I go out with somebody and I have a great big lunch. Well, I have enough energy there that I don't need to eat, but there's other benefits to fasting. And so those are things, you know, and talk with your doctor. Don't do this out on your own. Just don't go, I'm going to take a 40-day fast. Don't do that. Talk with your doctor and find good solutions, find good nutritional things that you can do, but allow for your body to operate the way God had designed it to. And don't allow for the things outside of that design to become a habit. We have to discipline our minds and our bodies.
Amen. Well said. You know, it's a reminder that most of life is both and, right? It's not, it is about, you know, I like how you said it, cognitive restructuring. It is about that. And it's about then applying nutrition to your life in a way that is sustainable, right? And helpful. But you know, when we talk about cognitive restructuring, I imagine that you gentlemen have found what I have found is that most people, including myself, honestly don't even know what their truest thoughts are. What I mean by that is most of what we really believe is in our subconscious. You know, it's like people know how to give the right answers. Well, think about it this way. We live in a world where just like what Joseph said, right? Everything's available at our fingertips. Every diet known to man, every drug known to man, right? It's all there. And yet the culture is not getting better, right? Which tells us that it's not a lack of information. There is not a lack of information. What there is a lack of is impartation and a lack of understanding. Right. So keeping with this theme of what we've been talking about, listener, you know, this is where therapy with a wise counselor can be really helpful. Here's why. You don't even know what challenges. I'm sorry. You don't even know what thoughts need to be challenged, because think about it. A false belief system looks like the absolute truth to you. And the only way that a false belief system, a false way of looking at something biblically, emotionally, relationally, is when somebody challenges that thought. So this is what I love to do, gentlemen. I imagine you do too. I love to just listen to people speak. Now, the first 5 minutes, I understand they're out of their conscious mind. They're pulling the information. They're in the present. But if you let a person talk long enough, you know, which I love to just give them the floor, and about 10, 15 minutes, I hear all of the stuff that they really believe. Not what they just told me in the first 5 minutes. I love God, and I believe they do. I love God. I trust God. I put my life in God's hands. And then I get listen, and I keep listening, and I keep listening. And I realize that in the deepest parts of their heart, they're afraid God has abandoned them. In the deepest parts of their heart, they feel alone. They feel like they're lost at sea. And I just use it as an example because this is why Encouragement Now is so helpful. Because when you can be in a safe and sacred space and begin to really let your heart speak, the subconscious begins to really download. what you're really believing and really thinking. That's when, a Holy Spirit-filled person can begin to say, well, this is what you said. And oftentimes they'll say, well, that's not what I meant. And I say, but that's what you said. And your words are powerful and you were in a flow. And so I want to talk about that. And even many times people will say, well, that's not what I meant. By the time we get done exploring that, they'll say, well, that's actually what I meant. But see, it doesn't sound politically correct. It doesn't sound Christian. They don't like the fact that they're struggling or they're angry or that they hate their mother or that, you know, they resent their father for not protecting them. Nobody wants to feel that. But here's the thing. We don't want people to feel that either. What we want people to do is acknowledge that that's what they feel so they can be delivered of those feelings, that they can carry those things to the Lord. But if you don't even acknowledge that they're there, right, they have the power to affect, you know, your entire life. And so, again, this is where therapy can be especially helpful because we don't even know where our thoughts have gone awry. And it's when somebody challenges them that we then begin to dig down. And you use the word, you didn't say it quite like I'm going to say it, but, you know, we are an overfed nation. But, you know, I want to say to the listener, I want to see if you can identify with any of these one reasons why you might be overfeeding yourself. And in this case, I'm going to talk about food. It could apply to anything, but food. Well, we're talking about obesity, right? Could it be a form of rebellion? Is at the root of this a form of rebellion that might say something like this? Listen, if people love me, they're going to love all of me the way I am. So that's true. But see, if it's a root of rebellion, you're actually in war. Okay? So we got to deal with the war that's living inside of you. What if what's really at the root of this is, what if it's autonomy? What if you being born by God is a free person? What if this is your way that you developed over time to say, I am who I am. I'm not going to have my mother tell me I need to take another diet pill. I'm not going to listen to my father say I should be skinny like my friends. There's a part of us that we want autonomy so bad that we can actually go to war with people in our mind and we live it out in our body. What about, is it safety and security? Are you overfeeding yourself because it gives this false illusion that if I look a certain way, nobody will be attracted to me. Therefore, that will keep me safe. It will keep me unattractive in a way that nobody will come near me. What about if it's a reflection of how you truly care about yourself? There's a lot of chattering in the world about self-love and I'm a diva and I'm a queen. And I've done this work long enough to know that that is, again, that's their conscious mind. It's what they want to believe. But for the majority of people, it is not what they believe. And if you don't care for yourself in the area of your weight, it's probably... Listen, I'm not against people being overweight. You can be, it's like I told my client, you can be 300 pounds heavier than you are. It doesn't matter. I'm not judging that. I'm looking at the fact that you're judging yourself. You're holding yourself to a standard. So here's what I'm going to say on this last point. It could be a reflection of how you actually care for yourself. And here's what I would say. Look across your life. Does this show up in lots of other areas? Does everybody get a clean towel in the house but you? Do you take the scraps of everything? Are you the one that works overtime because even though you're exhausted, you know, they need it more? You know, you'll find that it shows up in patterns all over your life. And so this is just a question I want the listener to ask themselves. Is one of these areas maybe what's really at the root? And yes, physiologically, you could be addicted to the food. We create patterns that now we have to break. Like Joseph said, we're going to have to take on a program. But the program isn't going to deal with the problem until you deal with the problem.
Join us next week for part two on obesity. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.